This is part 2 of episode 10, Jan's interview with Megan Newhouse.
So, but before we lose it, I do want to go back to Roberta. So please finish that story, because I'm sorry that I went on before we heard the end of the story.
Okay, and then at the end of the story, I wanted to say, well, maybe I'll say that while we're still on the topic of embracing elderhood, because the legacy work, I think, carries incredible benefits in a few ways, and it's been documented, and it's been tested and documented. For one thing, it gives us more purpose. Just being aware of legacy, wanting to leave a legacy, and we can talk more about specifics. And then it also leads often to forgiveness, and both of these are convincingly associated with better health, physical health and mental health or emotional health and longevity. So that's one reason. I also think...
Well, those are all very positive, so that's great.
And also, I think, even though a lot of people will say, oh, they don't care, I do think our children or extended family or whoever is going to care about getting what I and other people have called receiving tangible personal legacies of our internal wealth. Mm-hmm. And we can talk more about that. But that's who we were, the life lessons, the important stories and events of our lives, our values, all of that is, and that's things that they will value at some point as long as we don't overload them.
Uh-huh.
So so that's a couple of benefits that we can have. Just to go back to Roberta for a minute.
Yeah, we have to know how she processed that. Yeah.
Yeah, she became a therapist. And somewhere in midlife, she became very aware that she had passed on some of these, quote, negative pain legacies to her son. And that she was living a life that didn't have much community. And it was actually, a divorce that catalyzed a lot of this. So she went about changing a lot of things in her life to create more community, including in her profession with other therapists, in her condo association. She did a few things to create more of a sense of community there, and in her church. And she did a lot of volunteering there. And then she approached a young family, family with young children, who I believe whose parents were living abroad and had no family nearby. And she courageously asked them if maybe they would like to kind of be family for each other. And over the years, she's become an integral part of their family and become a grandmother substitute for their kids. And so all of this, I feel, it's interesting that it happened after midlife, and I feel that it's been very heartful. It's from the heart, and she has transformed her legacy into something really beautiful.
Yeah, that's a wonderful story. So thank you. I'm glad that we finished the rest of the story. That's wonderful. Meg, what are some specific things our listeners could do right now with regard to their legacies? And you know, I've been thinking about this. What if people don't have children? We often think of our children, grandchildren. But what if people don't have children? But how about some specific things people could do right now in terms of this legacy work?
Okay, and then remind me to address the issue of no children, because that okay. I do get that a lot. And first of all, I think that I would urge people, if they haven't already, to do some inner work. And some of the things that we talked about, be very think about the legacies you've already left, and think about all the ways you can have left legacies as parent or as you know, some kind of ersatz parent, as a teacher, as some kind or some kind of teacher substitute, mentor, coach, therapist, as a friend, as a worker, as a volunteer, as there are so many ways, as a citizen, as a community member. There's so many ways you have left legacies, and just kind of take stock and think about what you still want to leave as legacy. So, and the phrase I love is as a powerful way to think about what you might still want to do is think of the place, and this is Frederick Buechner's phrase, mm-hmm. think of the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet.
Uh-huh. I love that quote too.
And it's not, it doesn't have to be the world. It can be your family. It can be somebody down the street, but it's meshing. So that's one thing. And then the sort of things we've talked about a little bit, your personal tangible legacies, and they can be your internal wealth downloaded in the form of print or video or cherished possessions with little notes, stories about why they're cherished, or heirlooms, or things that you make, artistic or craft things and why they've been important to you. So I just think it's very important to include the reasons and the stories behind those things. And then there is work in the world. So today, I don't think anybody can deny how much there is that needs our care and attention. And I want to be very clear. The scale isn't important. This scale depends on who you are and what's available. And it can range from just being kind and compassionate in all your daily actions.
And, that's a good example.
Yep. And it can be, it's the opposite of your professor. And it can be simply or meditating. And some groups now meditate in groups because it's more powerful. And there's even some documented research on, there's a word for this, but coordinated meditation of a lot of people and how it can change crime rates. And so that's what we call subtle activism. And then there's, of course, public square action. And that could be working, paid or unpaid, in all of the nonprofit or socially responsible businesses that, you know, anything that appeals or calls to you. And then, of course, political activism. And this is what, if I can stop to read, this came across my screen this morning. I just thought it was called The Elders Are Rebelling. And and it's by Julian Cribb, C-R-I-B-B. And it's a blog. I can get it to you if that will help. But I'll just read one little paragraph.
Okay. That'd be great, though. Yeah, I'd love to have that. But go ahead.
The evidence for a politically active and engaged elderhood is all over the internet, on Facebook, Twitter, GetUp, and Avaaz, and in retiree groups like U3A and CSEE Change. As wise and experienced minds contemplate the catastrophic mix of climate, extinction, toxic pollution, militarization, resource scarcity, society-wide surveillance, and resurgent authoritarianism in place of democracy. Here's the thing. Ethical elders know their grandchildren are being handed a rough deal.
Wow. So, that is powerful.
It's powerful.
Yeah. Now tell us, let's I don't want to forget this because our time is kind of coming to a close here, but what if people don't have children? So how does that affect legacy work?
I'm so glad you remembered. Oh, because I was thinking of it too. So first of all, all the advice still stays the same of, you know, the preparatory work. And then it's a question of who is important in your life, who is in a next generation, nieces, nephews, people you've worked with, mentees, or organizations that have been important for you, because many of them might want some. It depends if it's an organization. For example, one person left a piano to her church.
Oh, nice.
Another person left photos to that were relevant to an organization. I think she was a historian, and it was a historical organization. It would depend on your interests and your hobbies that you might find an organization to leave it to. A friend of mine is doing a whole family history of her family that escaped the Holocaust. And that she doesn't have kids, and they're for her nieces and nephews and other relatives.
Oh, nice.
So there are a lot of possibilities for people who don't have children, and I think it's important. You do want to somehow, you want to leave some behind, some evidence that you have mattered, and you will anyway because of how you've lived. Mm-hmm. But to have something down in the intangible form surviving is also nice.
Sure. And I also think, like, as you said earlier, the process of doing so keeps someone, it gives someone meaning, and it keeps someone positive and focused on, you know, what do you want people to think? I mean, I think that's very good. Well, we're coming to, we have just a couple minutes left, Meg. What are some of your closing thoughts on this topic? What would you really want listeners to remember? Maybe you've said it previously, or maybe we haven't talked about it yet. We just have a couple minutes.
Well, I will. Often I give the universal deathbed questions that geriatricians and gerontologists have come up with, and they are universal across cultures. They are, have I given and received love? Have I lived my life as opposed to someone else's, and have I left the world a little better than I found it? And these are all legacy questions, and of course not to be left for the end of life, because as you know, you're leaving legacies all through your life. And so I would emphasize that and the legacies of the heart. And one idea that I had that I left out, so I'll stick it in, is you might consider writing or bullet pointing your obituary as a way to help you figure out what legacies you still might want to leave. If I have another 30 seconds, I'd like to end, because I'm so passionate about the opportunities. I think we elders are living in a historical, are both a great opportunity and a responsibility at this point in time to get engaged. And so if I may read an excerpt from a poem by Drew Dellinger.
Please, please do.
Thank you. Because, it's 3:23 in the morning and I'm awake because my great-great-grandchildren won't let me sleep. My great-great-grandchildren ask me in dreams, what did you do while the planet was plundered? What did you do when the earth was unraveling? Surely you did something when the seasons started failing. The mammals, reptiles, and birds were all dying. Did you fill the streets with protest when democracy was stolen? What did you do when you knew? So we have a lot we can do, but it doesn't have to be big. I don't want to scare people off.
Right. That is a moving poem. Thank you for sharing that. Well, Meg, this has been enlightening. So thank you very much for making the time and all of this legacy work, everything we've been talking about. And I particularly love the phrase legacies of the heart. You know, that all of this work is going to help us make the rest of life the best of life. And so I want to thank you again.
And I want to thank you for the pleasure of the conversation and for your doing this. This is a great legacy.
Thank you. You're right. It's part of my legacy. So thank you very much, Meg.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.